We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The creative entrepreneurs making and selling physical goods. We're firm believers that everyone has a story to share, and there is so much we can learn from each other's business journey. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business. Hey friends, welcome back to Proof to Product. I'm your host, Katie Hunt, and today we are talking about a topic that is near and dear to my heart. It is email marketing. Email marketing is such a powerful tool, and yet it is often underutilized by independent brands that are selling physical products. My guest today is Meera Kottand, and she is an email marketing specialist and three-time Amazon bestselling author. Her books are called The 1 Hour Content, Your First 100, and But I'm Not an Expert. Meera excels in making powerful marketing strategies simple and relatable so that small business owners just like you and me can build community and sell more of our products and services. On today's episode, we are talking about why your email list is more valuable than any social media platform that you have, how to build your email list with creative lead magnets, and strategies for nurturing your audience through a welcome sequence and ongoing consistent emails. Now, before I jump in, I need to put in a plug for Proof to Product Labs because inside of Labs, I recently taught an email marketing class for makers. And within 1 hour, everyone had mapped out 1 year of emails, both wholesale and direct-to-consumer emails. So we talked about what to say, when to send these emails, and how to create templates so that you can use them over and over again. Now, this is hands down one of the most watched trainings inside of our Labs community. And it, along with all of our other past trainings, are available and open for all Labs members. So you can dive back into that vault, right? Labs is my 12-month group coaching program. It was built specifically for product-based business owners. And as I said, our vault of content is deep. When you sign up, you also get new trainings, community coffee chats, and group coaching calls each and every month. So to join us, head over to proof2product.com/labs, but let's dive into email marketing strategies with Meera Kottand. Hey Meera, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. It is so exciting. I know we're going to talk about a topic that I really love.
I love this topic too. And to be honest with you, I have been overhauling our email marketing strategies lately, and I've been teaching this to a lot of my clients. So I'm super excited for an expert like yourself to come in and tell us what's happening and why they need to prioritize this in their marketing agenda. So let's start first. Tell us your story. How did you get started in technology and this digital marketing space?
Wow. So whenever I tell the story, people are kind of a little bit surprised because, you know, most people would think, they would say that I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur, always knew I wanted to start my own business, but it was like the complete opposite for me. I am from a very, very traditional background. So it was like, you know, you go to college, you get a job, business is not even in your blood, so-called. So that was kind of like my upbringing in a sense. So this was not something that I planned to do at all. But after I had my child, my daughter, I kind of had a health scare. So I had to stay home for a bit. Before that, I was in corporate. I was in international relations. I was doing a little bit of marketing as well. You know, I was home and I'm like, okay, what do I do? I always had this love for words, exploring brands and marketing and stuff like that. So it was my husband who kind of nudged me in this direction. You know, why not just try some writing? So it started with a blog, and it grew from there. So from that blog, I just started organically building an audience. That one of the things that I did right with all of that mess that, you know, that comes with starting out was I focused on my email list. So, and the audience that kind of grew from there, and then it, you know, grew into digital products, and then I self-published on Amazon as well. So yes, that is kind of like the long story short into how I got started in digital marketing. So it's just, you know, love for brand and my marketing and just writing in general.
It sounds like just also an any interest and talent in it as well. You had the interest, you had the talent, and you know, the worlds collided, which is amazing. I love that. So I want to ask you a question that I've been talking with a lot of marketers lately, and I just love to get their feedback on this because I think everyone has a slightly different perspective. But why should all of us be prioritizing growing and nurturing our email list?
So one side of it, you have the stats. I'm not going to go too much into the stats, but if you look at those big companies that do these, you know, they do the research and all of that, and it clearly shows that when you take into consideration social media or anything else, email marketing pays off. So for every dollar that you spend on email marketing, it pays you off, I don't know, 50 folds or 48 folds. I don't really remember the actual numbers, but
yeah,
that's how much it pays you off compared to everything else. So, I mean, that's one thing aside. And for me, the main importance of email is it's something that's close to your audience. It's not fleeting, you know, it's something that you own. So if you're on social media, so for instance, the new thing is Clubhouse or mm-hmm. whether it's TikTok or Instagram or Facebook for that matter, it's, you know, it's a platform that you don't own. It's someone else owns it. So they can take it back from you anytime they want. So I had a really good friend who is in the same space as me, and she had her group of about, I don't know, 8 to 10,000 just shut down overnight without any kind of explanation. And wow. Thankfully, a lot of them were on her email list. So it was like a really huge shock for her. And I think a lot of people in her audience as well. So you don't want that to happen. But with your email list, you can just download your CSV file or whatever, you know, your list, and just move anytime you want. People are checking their emails. You know, people have this love-hate relationship with the email. You know, I don't like emails. Yes, I don't like checking emails. But you'd be surprised. People actually check emails a lot. They actually prefer to get messages via email. So what they say and what they do are two completely different things. So that's why I say, you know, people might say they don't like email, but they're checking it a lot. They actually look forward to getting messages on email. So that's one of the reasons. And I think right now, especially with so much of noise in the digital space, there are people who have really huge marketing budgets, you know, so they can afford that time of, they have that space and resources to be on lots of different platforms. But for smaller niche influencers, people like you and me, or even people in your audience, we thrive off that connection, that one-to-one connection that we get from people. So when you have a platform like email, it allows you to have that closer connection. So yeah, that's why I love email so much.
I agree with you so much. I mean, everything from you own your email list, you can decide how frequently you send them messages, what you say in those messages. You're not tied to any algorithms or terms and conditions of another platform. And then the personalization, the engagement side of it. I 100% agree with you that you can write an email that goes out to hundreds or thousands of people, but you can make it sound like you're talking to one person, human to human. And you can create that experience that keeps your customers coming back over and over again. I think that is hugely valuable. So thank you for sharing that. One thing I see, and I have an interesting perspective because I am a service-based business. I provide services to my clients, but I work with people that sell physical products. So I see the strategies that are being suggested for service-based people. I don't see a whole lot of strategies being recommended for physical product people. And then we try to, like, I work with my clients to try to, like, adapt different things we're seeing in the service space for products. So I guess one of my questions to you is, what are some strategies that physical product-based business owners can use to entice people to join their email list? What are you seeing that's working successfully?
So obviously the first thing that would kick the entire process off is to have some kind of a lead magnet. You know, we all know that some kind of a resource that, you know, gives them an invitation to join your email list. And what I see happen very often with makers or physical product creators is they feel that they are kind of limited to just having a coupon code. You know, they need to offer that coupon code. People need to sign up. All right, that's how I get them on my email list. Everything that else that happens after that, that's kind of really iffy. You know, they don't really know what's going on. So maybe let's take a step back before we talk about what happens after they get on their email list. Let's talk about the first point, right? So the lead magnet. And there was a really interesting example that I saw. And this was a person who was selling hot tubs. You know, there might be people doing that in your audience. But Katie, you were sharing with me, most of them in your audience, they're kind of like doing planners and stationery and stuff like that. So
yeah, consumer goods products. But there's so much we can learn from other examples of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff.
So there's a lot of things that you can pick off from this. So this person was selling hot tubs, and the lead magnet was 7 mistakes that people make when they buy their hot tub. And a hot tub could be a pretty costly expense, right? I mean, it's quite a big sum. It's not cheap. So he was pointing out the mistakes that people were making, the things that people think they should be looking at, while they're in reality, there are lots of other things. So I thought that was really interesting lead magnet to have. I mean, you wouldn't think of someone selling a hot tub who would have something like that. So you can actually take this idea and kind of implement it for lots of different things. So if it's maybe planners, if you have a few different types of planners selling different productivity systems, you know, you've got the Kanban style, you've got the bullet journaling style. There's so many different productivity styles. If you have different types of planners, you could maybe talk about which one is the right one for you. You could have a quiz, for instance, you know, which productivity style is the right one for you. And then based on those answers that your people give, you know, your customers give, you can kind of nudge them or lead them in a direction and propose a product in your shop that would be perfect for them. So you could do this. And I've actually seen this when I was looking for a gift for a girlfriend, and she is kind of like a candle freak. She loves candles.
Yeah.
So which candles should you get, or which fragrance is the right one for you? So it's a very simple quiz. I think it was just like 5 or 6 questions. And, you know, it starts off with, are you shopping for yourself or are you shopping for someone else? So based on that, and then they would, okay, what kind of scents are you drawn to? What smells or fragrances are you drawn to? Where do you plan on having this? And based on those answers, they kind of led me into, you know, a direction. So I was pleasantly surprised to kind of see a new kind of candles, like a soy candle, because my friend is, you know, based on her preferences, that was kind of what they showed me. So very interesting ideas. You could have a quiz, you can have like a simple PDF, like I mentioned the hot tub example. So it's really limited just by your creativity. So I don't think you should be thinking just along the lines of coupon code. I mean, obviously you could have that, but there are lots of different ways to spice things up. And I've seen people do quizzes, especially when I'm shopping for gifts or planners, they do this really well. And it can be such an interactive experience. And it doesn't just stop at the quiz. And, you know, after the quiz, there is that entire follow-up process. So whether they buy or they don't, and it just takes a relationship from there.
I 100% agree. Okay. I want to back up just 1 second. I do want us to get into what to do after they join the list, but I'm so excited. And like my mind is going in a bunch of different ways from this conversation already, but a couple things I want to reiterate. One, get creative. It doesn't have to be a discount code. I think a lot of people just default to the discount code because it's easy, or they see other similar sized brands using that tactic. Yes. In reality, friends that are listening, if somebody wants your product, they're going to buy it, and they're going to buy it even if they don't have a discount code from your email list. So let's pull that out, that's the only way that we can entice people to get on our list. Something educational, like you said, a PDF or something that complements the products that they have, I think is excellent. I think Correct. The quiz idea is really wonderful. And that's really, I'm seeing an uptick in that. The other thing I want to share with our listeners is don't be afraid to look at other industries. Don't be afraid to look at other types of products. I saw a furniture company that was doing really cool things to engage with their customers and bring them in. So look outside of your normal, like smaller industry, and see what the bigger brands outside of that are doing for ideas, and just get creative with what you have. But Mira, I really like those ideas you suggested. So thank you for that.
Yeah, actually, Katie, just another one kind of popped in.
Yeah.
Since you mentioned that a couple of them in your audience, they are doing textiles as well. So there was an example that I came across, and her PDF was how to build a capsule wardrobe.
Oh, cool.
So it was very informational, but the way she led people into her products was she kind of featured her products within that content. So basically, how to build a capsule wardrobe, because a lot of her audience was interested in that, but she would showcase her products in that PDF. So, you know, you should have this particular piece, and then you should have this particular piece, and then where exactly they can find that piece, she would just give a link to where they can find it in their shop. So educational, but weave in your content into that so that it's seamless. It doesn't feel like you're selling at all. You're sharing information, you're educating them. And I always say educating is the new selling, you know, and then kind of weave in your products. Yeah.
totally. I have another example to share. One of my clients has greeting cards. Many are along the sympathy and empathy realm. And those kind of cards are so needed, but people often struggle with what to say within that card when they send it. And so she put together, I think it was like 3 to 5 different writing prompts to help somebody write their message and what kind of things they could include when they're reaching out to somebody with that kind of message. Yeah. And, you know, that's helpful. It complements what you're selling. It educates. Exactly. It makes your customers' lives easier too. So yeah, those are all great examples. That was fun to brainstorm for me. So thank you. Okay, so let's talk about once they're on the list and we want to really enhance our customer experience. And this is a great opportunity to do it with our welcome email sequences. So let's talk about sequences. What type of content should they be including in their welcome sequences? And then I kind of want to talk some logistics too, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So for me, when it comes to sequences, there is kind of like a process that I like to go through. And I always feel, like I said, it comes from a standpoint of educating them. If they don't know why they need your product, they will not be ready to buy. So you need to build awareness regardless of what your product is. Like I said, someone who is selling clothes, if you feel that a lot of your audience are leaning towards a minimalist style or like a capsule wardrobe style, educate them on that. So to have this process be successful, you need to have a good understanding of your audience. And it's going to take time. And I think this is what scares people off because they feel like, okay, I'm just starting out or this is new for me. Maybe my shop is new. Do I still create that sequence? And I said, yeah, you know, you wouldn't know unless you put yourself out there and you get those responses. You get a feel of what your audience is like and then you tweak and you refine. And this is the process for everyone.
Yeah.
So I like to always start off with, it always has to stem from relevance. So whatever they signed up for, that lead magnet, the sequence that you're sending them to, it has to be very closely aligned with that. So if for instance, I am interested in candles and I signed up for a lead magnet on that, like a quiz on candles, and then you're sending me something that's completely different, that is where you're going to lose me. So you want it to be exactly complementary so that you know, people will be keen on exploring the products in your offering. If they feel like what you're sending them is just completely not relevant to what they're there for, then you've just completely lost that person. I like to bring up, let's take the example of planners, for instance. If you feel that a lot of people who are shopping for planners, they do things in the wrong way, or, you know, we all buy these beautiful planners and we are so excited to start filling them up in January, but then by the end of the month, we realize we don't fill up any of that stuff. Maybe March comes and you realize it's completely empty. You know, we have a pretty planner, but nothing in there.
I'm so guilty of that. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So it happens to all of us. And a lot of people don't really talk about it. We don't really address that, but it happens to almost every one of us. We've had that experience. So bring that up in your email. You know, if you're selling planners and you realize, okay, why is this happening to people? Is it because they picked a planner that doesn't really gel with their style, doesn't gel with the way they work day to day? Which is better, a day planner, a weekly planner, a monthly planner? There are so many questions. And if your audience is there shopping for planners, if you kind of engage them in this kind of conversation via your email sequences, you're going to close the sale a lot faster. So yeah, you know, like one of the things, if you look at any sequence of mine, I always start with, obviously, the welcome email. Talk about your brand and be very clear about your brand voice. So for me, the brand is me, like that's because of the business I have. But for makers, it's, you might have a name. So have a brand voice around that. So just because you sell planners, it could be your own voice, or if it's, you know, you're doing it together with a couple of other people, you have to decide on what that voice is because everyone is going to have a different voice. There's this really interesting brand that I came across. It's called Poo-Pourri. I'm not sure if you've heard. And they take something, it's about fragrance for after you've done your business, you know? And the voice of that brand is so witty and sassy. And, you know, there might be 10 people on that team who manage social media, but the voice is the same. So you want to make sure that you have that consistency in your brand voice and you want that brand voice to flow from your site to your opt-in right into your email sequences. Just a small point about brand voice. So regardless of whether you're selling textiles or planners or stationery, make sure your brand has a voice. It could be very feminine, very gentle. It could be something with a little bit more sass. It could be anything, you know, as long as it aligns with your audience. And you might end up repelling some people away, which is perfectly fine. You know, if we speak to everyone, we speak to no one. So that's the thing. Yeah. So yeah, back to the point of my sequences. One of the things I always talk about is define the problem, right? So what are the questions in their mind? So if it's planners, like I said, which is the right one? Weekly, monthly, daily? Why am I not filling up my planner? So these are questions you want to raise. So I always include a myth or a mistake email in my sequence. Always, always, always. In any sequence that I have, it could be for... Because I lead them down different paths. So you might have a few different products in your shop. So for instance, I talk about digital products. I talk about email. I may talk about blogging. Each one has a pathway, all right? And based on that, they've got different problems, different questions. So I always include a myth email or a mistake email. Because only when you bring awareness to these questions that they have in their mind, are they going to be like interested? Oh, right. Yeah, this is interesting. I never thought about this. So maybe she has a solution for me. That is when it gets them thinking. It gets the ball rolling. And then after that, you know, you're not even talking about selling, or you're not going to say, go buy my thing, go check this out. You're still bringing awareness. You're still talking about the things. And then after that, you can raise interest. You can share maybe a client story, maybe someone you've worked with or someone who had a very nice thing to say about your products. You could mention that. Maybe I even came across one of the gift shops. She always used to have headaches in the evening. And then by using the fragrances of the candles and stuff like that, it basically worked wonders for that person. And they had featured that lady's testimonial on their site. And they also carry that through in the email. So you could share mm-hmm. that in your sequence as well. So this is what will get people thinking. So for instance, if a lot of your audience come to you, people come to you and they are like, they've got headaches, they've got sinusitis, whatever, they can't sleep, you know, then lead them in that direction. Bring up client stories, customer stories about this. And then towards the end of the sequence, that is when you can say, by the way, maybe I have a coupon code. If this is your first sale, go and check it out. If you have questions, one of our customer service reps would love to talk to you, maybe book a call, something, you know. You could even show your personality. You could have like a video embedded within the sequence and they click on that and then you could reveal a coupon code. Lots of different creative things that you can do.
Oh, yeah. This week's episode is brought to you by Proof to Product Labs, my 12-month group coaching program that was specifically built for product-based business owners. Each month, we tackle a different topic to help you build a strong, profitable, and sustainable business. Here's what Erica Lockwell of Our Back Pockets had to say after being in labs for just a few months. I am loving labs, the community, the resources, the learning. I really like the monthly focus and the workbooks you provide each month. Your coaching is superb and the masterclasses have been phenomenal. I'm honestly blown away. I knew this would be a useful offer, but I don't think I realized just how robust, supportive, and educational it would be. Thank you so much, Erica, for this note. It made my day. Listeners, the doors to Proof to Product Labs are always open so that you can get the help you need when you need it most. Head to prooftoproduct.com/labs to learn more and join us for 1 year of support, educational resources, and community. I love the idea of a video too, because so many people in our audience are handcrafting some of their things. And so there's really cool behind the scenes things that they can show that brings their audience in, tells their brand story. You know, a lot can be said without saying anything, right? Like the videos can do the talking for you. Yeah. And I love the idea of the storytelling. I think storytelling is so incredibly powerful, and it's more than just a testimonial on a website, right? It's like you said, here was the problem, here was the solution, here's how, you know, we helped, and not even in a selling capacity, but more of like a storytelling. I love that. You know, a lot of people are afraid of selling though. They worry. I can tell you in 2020 with the pandemic and everything else, one of my things I kept telling people, you have to continue selling. And one thing I kept hearing back was, I don't want to sound salesy. I don't want to sound sleazy. I don't want to seem opportunistic in a time where everyone is hurting. So what are your thoughts on how can we get comfortable with this selling process and use email marketing as a vehicle for that, I guess?
I'll tell you, Katie, for me, it was kind of like a clear point when I felt my business actually took off was when I got comfortable with selling. And people always, like you said, they have so much of fear around selling. But I think if you do it well, there's no way it's going to come across as being sleazy or salesy. You know, yeah. That said, I think everyone needs to know that you're in business too. So yes. There are going to be people who are mean, who are going to come. Maybe you have some kind of a promotion going on. You will get people write in and say, this is ridiculous. You know, I didn't hop on your list for this. And I would say, see if there's justice in anything that they're saying. If there isn't, go ahead, do them a favor and unsubscribe. You know, do it for them. So you cannot please everyone, and people need to know you're in business. So that's one thing. And it's really a mindset shift. If you feel that your products are not worth that price point, it's going to come across in the copy that you write in your emails. I mean, as weird as that sounds, it's like that, you know. If you don't feel confident about it, it's going to come across. If you feel that you're being sleazy, you're not going to be persuasive. When I talk about being persuasive, it doesn't mean that, hey, this being really aggressive and go buy my thing. It doesn't have to be like that. If you lead your audience in the way that, you know, I just spoke about, you were talking about educating them, talking about sharing client stories, customer stories, how your product can actually help them and offer them a solution. If you craft it in this way, and then at the end of it, you say, by the way, if this is what you need help with, then go and check out this planner or go and have a look at this. Because it's just, you know, it's a natural lead up. You're not just springing it in their faces. I think where it becomes uncomfortable is that out of nowhere, they kind of spring it in the face. Like one thing that I always share with people on my list is that I always mention the name of any promotion that I'm having. If I'm going to launch it at the end of 7 days, I mention it as early as the third day. You know, I name drop in that sense. So I'm telling them right up ahead, by the way, this is what I'm going to be launching. If this is something you need help with, this is the focus area, this is what you need help with, then, you know, keep a lookout for that. So I don't spring it on them on day 7. You know, I'm just sharing all of this great content. I'm just springing it on them. I'm telling them right up front. So I think there has to be a certain sense of transparency when it comes to selling. And you don't need to fear about giving your audience or customers that transparency, because people need to know as well, you know, you're doing business and you know, it's not.
Well, I agree with you. And one thing I kept telling my clients was they signed up for your email list because they want to hear from you.
Spot on. Yes.
They signed up for your email list because they like your products, because they like your brand. They like what you're doing and they want to hear more about it, you know?
Exactly.
And it might be somebody that buys once. It might be somebody that hangs around for a long time and buys over and over again. You don't know what, but they did sign up for your list for a certain reason and they want to hear from you. So let's give it to them. You know, I think it's interesting. One of the things, a lot of hangups I see for my clients are they struggle with that opt-in at the beginning of getting, like, how do I get traffic and how do I get people onto my list? So that's one area of hangup. And then I see the hangup of, okay, they're on my list. Now what? Like, and we covered that in the welcome sequence, right? But then I see the, and people are so relieved when they get that written in and automated it. They feel a huge weight. But then this third area that I see a problem with their email list or where they have hangups is the ongoing nurturing. And it's very interesting because I recommend different strategies based upon whether they're selling to the wholesale market, you know, B2B, or if they're doing direct to consumer, and different in terms of frequency and messaging and all of that, right? But a lot of them are hesitant to do that nurturing, you know, and to tell people, okay, I've got new stuff, or these are our best sellers of the quarter, or, you know, we're going to be at this market, or whatever it might be, or just, hi, we miss you, or whatever it is. I mean, correct. We obviously want to be adding value at every touch point. But what do you say to those people that are afraid of that nurturing process too? Because that's ongoing. That's
correct.
Always needed.
Yeah, it's always needed. I think one, maybe something that would help is a lot of people think that the selling process is like the straight line. They get on your list, maybe they go through a sequence, they buy, then goodbye or something. You know, see you later or whatever. But it is a lot more messy than we realize, especially now. And I think there's this real huge shift because of the digital space. previously, a lot of the customers, they used to rely on the creators for a lot of the information. You know, we, like, let's say we need to buy a car, we need to get that information from the car dealers. But now it's not like that. We get our information from so many different places. Yes. We talk to Facebook group communities. We talk to people who have experienced that brand before. So I think there's a lot of, we still think that it's like a typical funnel, one straight line, you know, but like the way, whenever someone comes and they drop me an email, I always ask them, you know, how did you hear about me? And it's so interesting because some say Amazon, some say they heard me on this summit or a podcast, and then they don't sign up straight away. Then they hear about your name on another Facebook group. And it's just this real big, it's like a ball of, you know, like, I don't know, yarn or something like that. So it's messy. And for you, the main thing is you have to be top of mind. So the only way you can do that is with what you just said, to have that continuous nurture process. And it doesn't have to be anything major. Just like what you said, these are our best sellers, or we are going to be at this market. Or by the way, we just teamed up with Target or something like that. So come find us on Target, you know, just something as simple as that. It could just be with a picture, with a simple headline, with a team photo, you know, just simple things. And it's just a way to keep in touch and be top of mind so that when they're in that process, you know, they are all over the place. When it's suddenly, all right, oh yeah, you know, it's December or November, I need a planner. This is not working for me. I'm going to check out that planner. And this person has been on in my inbox consistently. Your brand is going to be the first thing that comes to their mind. You know, the same thing with for any business for that matter. Just because they say no now and they don't buy doesn't mean that it's a no forever. You have to kind of get used to the new reality and the new selling, and that there's no straight line. Nothing is linear. It's extremely messy. And you just have to brace yourself for that. And the only way you can do that is be top of mind, be consistent, be someone they know that they can trust, a brand that they can trust. And that's about it.
I want to reiterate what you said about it being messy and the touch points, the amount of touch points.
Correct.
We need nowadays before somebody purchases from us. It's huge. It used to be 7 way back in the day, and then it was like 32, and who knows what it is now, right? Yeah. So that's where, to your point, showing up on a consistent basis, regularly providing value, building that relationship, building that trust factor, sharing stories of who other people are that buy from them so they can see themselves in that same situation. And also, you know, I mean, this gets into a wider conversation, but that's where the other aspects of marketing play into this too. The social media marketing you do, if you do any direct mail, if you know, all of these other pieces, your packaging, even your, all of it. So no, this was a really great reminder that the sales process is definitely not a straight line as much as we wish it would be. So thank you for sharing that. You know, Mira, this has been an incredible conversation. I've really enjoyed it. And I actually, as you were talking about the planner situation, I kept thinking, oh, the nurture sequence for this would be amazing, of like one email a month about the holidays of that month, or like how you could really build out this connection with your audience. And obviously that's a very specific email sequence that you would build based on a very specific product, but everyone listening has very, you know, unique products that have their own story or their own use. And you can just take those special things about your product or how they can be used and just continue to layer in the outreach that you do around it, and not even sell, but just educate, like you said. So okay, why don't we do this? Because I feel like I could talk to you for hours and hours. Tell us what is next in your business. What are you working on? If people want to check out your books or other things, how can they learn more from you?
Yeah, so I mean, since we are talking about email, I do have a book on email marketing on Amazon.
Perfect.
You know, you could just go to Amazon, just type in my name, and the books would show up. So I've got a couple of books on Amazon, but the good one to be starting with is 300 email marketing tips. So it just walks you through automations, how to write a welcome email, stuff like that. So if this is kind of like the area that you're interested in, anyone who's listening, that would be a good book to start with.
Excellent. We will include that in the show notes so everyone can find it very easily for you. Is there a website or social media handle you want to share with everybody so they can follow along there too?
Yeah, so I'm at mirakotan.com, and I'm where am I? I'm on Pinterest. Just got started on YouTube, so I would love some love there.
All right.
But yeah,
we'll put that in the show notes too. I can't wait to watch. You're so animated and detailed and thoughtful in the way. Well, and I don't mean that as like a character. No.
I completely get it. But I get very excited, especially when it's about email and it can just go on.
I'm over here waving my hands and nodding my head too. So I am the same exact way. I think you are very captivating in the examples and the way you explain these things to people. You break down these more complex situations into bite-sized nuggets that they can then take action on. So I very much appreciate you joining me today and sharing your knowledge with us. Everyone that's listening will include her links and everything in the show notes so you can track her down. But Mira, thank you so much for your time and your knowledge today. It was so enlightening and generous of you.
Thank you so much. The pleasure is all mine. I had a lot of fun talking to you about this.
All right, friends. I hope you gleaned some new ideas from today's episode. There are so many ways that you can use email marketing to strategically build your client base and nurture them for repeat orders. I will also tell you, if you are looking for more support with email marketing, come join us inside Approved to Product Labs. You not only get access to our past trainings where we mapped out a whole year's worth of emails in 1 hour, but next month I'm going to be doing another training focused on building out a welcome sequence, including what to say, when to send them, and how to automate the process too. So join us for Labs. It's my 12-month group coaching program. You can head to prooftoproduct.com/labs to learn more. Every month, we focus on different areas of your business. Sometimes it's technology. Sometimes it's marketing. We'll be talking about hiring and paid advertising soon. These are foundational tools that will help you build a strong, profitable product-based business. And I want you to do it in your own way and on your own timeline. So join us at prooftoproduct.com/labs. That's all I've got for you guys today. Have a wonderful day. If you found today's episode helpful, please be sure to share it with your friends and subscribe. I'll be back next week with a new episode. Talk soon.
Thanks so much for spending time with us today. Head on over to prooftoproduct.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover free resources to help you build your product-based business. We'll be back next week with a new episode. Thanks again.